This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thank you for being with us. We're continuing our in-depth coverage of education this week. My guest is Amy Carpenter, a teacher at Mayfield High School. She teaches language arts and a subject close to my heart, journalism. Amy, thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Fred. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk to you today. This is fun.
It's good to have you here. Yeah. You know, I want to start out with kind of the very basics of why you're here, and it's a grave concern among educators and many other people in the community and in the entire state of New Mexico about the future of public education. And in recent years, a big part of how education is evaluated and how students and teachers are evaluated involves a growing number of tests. Now, folks who listen to our station regularly know that Texas recently made the decision to vastly reduce the number of required tests for students. I know that there's concern about the large number of tests and the high stakes testing in New Mexico as well.
That's right. We're all very concerned about it. That's why I wanted to be here, and I wanted to have a chance to talk to you about it, Fred.
What's the effect of this? I mean, the fact that there are so many tests, and you know, I know even for some students, we hear about test fatigue.
Well, yes, and we're seeing several different effects of this, and it has really just exploded in the last year. Over the last year, we've seen the number of tests. For instance, the end of course exams were supposed to be five of them this year. And by the end of December, I believe they're going to be 15. This is unbelievable, and it is going to affect children's ability to be able to graduate. When we talk about high stakes, the problem is that the state has not yet set guidelines that we can count on to stay the same. So we're looking at a bar that's constantly moving. We've got about 50% of the students in this state right now, it's projected, and I don't have hard numbers, but it is projected that some 50% of this state's current seniors will not graduate in May. And parents all over the state are saying, excuse me? In our school district, we require our seniors to have achieved 29 credit hours. And we're finding out that kids could be thinking that they're getting all of the credits that they need, and yet they fail one of these tests. They fail a high-stakes test, and all of a sudden they're told that, no, thank you very much, but you won't be able to do that. You won't be graduating on time. And parents are really, really concerned. The kids are getting demoralized. The teachers, we're left standing here not even knowing how to counsel our students best, because we're not getting the information that we need from the state.
Of course, another controversial issue, the state is requiring new teacher evaluation systems for all school districts. And I know that the National Education Association is opposed to this. You're a member of the NEA in Las Cruces. Tell me what is involved and why you're opposed to what is being done at the state level.
The kinds of evaluations, mm-hmm. the system. Well, 50% of our evaluation is based on student grades. And that's for all teachers. So you could actually be evaluated on, if you're an elective teacher, for instance, you could be being evaluated on a student you don't have in a core class. And what they're tested, for instance, my students are tested in the English classes. We have the reading and the math. And if they bomb those things, then that affects all of their teachers. And if 50% of my evaluation is based on whether or not my students show growth Well, that's a catch. And by that, by a short catch, I mean that we're taking a slice out of a student's year. If they've had a bad day, or they come in with no breakfast, or they had a fight with mom, or they didn't get enough sleep last night, or, as several of the students I have, if they just totally freeze during a test, they're going to test poorly. And to know that 50% of my evaluation is based on that is pretty horrifying.
This has also affected entire schools, and this has already occurred. The state initiating an idea that went forward in Florida to grade schools, have an A through F grade. And this also has been very, very controversial. And the formula is so complicated, the way I understand it, it can't even be explained.
You're right. It's virtually impenetrable. I think it was Senator Howie Morales last year, who has his doctorate in education. He's an extremely well-versed man in educational matters, and he took the grading system, the school grading system, and he tried to break it down. He actually put it in front of a group of people who were, I believe, statisticians and mathematicians, and said, here, is it apples to apples? And they sort of said, no, it's not only not apples to apples, it's apples to oranges to pears. And there's no way you can get rational numbers out of this that are, in fact, reflective of what a school's true performance is.
Speaking of performance, in one Las Cruces school that received an F, teachers had to reapply for their jobs if they wanted to stay in that school. What do you make of that?
I think it's punitive, and I think it's intentionally punitive. Teachers seem to have become the whipping boys. And please, I hope you understand, Fred. Teachers should be evaluated. I should be evaluated. I should be evaluated on what I bring into the classroom. Now, I'm an old gal, and I've been in the saddle for quite a while now. I bring not only my master's degree and my level 3 teaching expertise and 20 years of teaching into the classroom. I bring 20 years of real life experience as well. Well, I think that when I'm put in a situation where I know I am going to be devalued and perhaps punished for something that is not of my making, I think, and is an invalid measure of my capabilities, I get really, really on the ropes and really frightened. And we're all there right now. You know, we've got, it's a multiple measure test, certainly, or evaluation, certainly. We're being evaluated on our attendance. And that is something that is built into our contract, our attendance. We're given 10 days of leave a year, absences a year. And I don't have children at home, but teachers who have young children at home, if those kids get sick and they need mom at home, or, for instance, in my case, many years ago, several years ago, my mother was ill and was dying, and I had to take an extended, you know, 3 or 4 days off while my mother was dying, I should not have that threatened. I it should never be called into question. And in fact, what we're seeing right now is, at least in this district, the numbers that are being used by the state are completely different from what are being used in our district. So there's an imbalance and there's an inequity, and that shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't. And it was a unilateral decision that was made to do that.
Of course, this is not only an issue for New Mexico. All over the country, critics of what is being called education reform say that the comes down to this, that in a nutshell, the focus of what's being called education reform is test scores, teachers, and schools. It doesn't look at ways to address poverty or what's going on at home.
Exactly. And what we're seeing is, of course, when we look at where New Mexico ranks nationally in terms of child well-being, we're dead last. When we look at how kids are stacking up, we get one set of numbers that tells us that our children are failing across the board, and that's simply not true. Our children, given the fact that we have, and it's not all the fault of poverty, but there's kind of a hydra-headed monster here in terms of how many different things are impacting a child's education. So we have institutionalized racism. We have a high, high rate of poverty. We have parents who have not felt that they have been brought into the process. And this district, I really admire, because we've started the Institute for Parental Engagement now, and I was a part of that last year. And it's amazing what it does to enfranchise parents, to give them the strength that they need to be able to say, my child is a client of this school district. And yes, I will get answers. And to know the questions to ask and what the possibilities are. But unfortunately, not everything is yet in place. The program is spreading and building. We started with Lynn Middle School and Mayfield High School piloted that last year. And now I don't even know how many schools we've got. It's just amazing. I think they're going to be graduating over 200 parents from the IPE, from the Institute for Parental Engagement. So the district is justifiably proud of that. And it's modeled on a program from California that was very successful, that is of 25 years standing with a good rate of success.
So that sounds like one strategy that a district could take to get parents more involved and to get this piece of the puzzle related to student achievement moving. Are there other ways that you think this can be addressed? Because, you know, as I mentioned, I really don't think, in general, I don't think this is part of the dialogue in the general, at least not in the media. Let's put it that way. I mean, the media, it's all about test scores for schools,
right?
Evaluation systems for teachers.
Well,
we're not talking really about parents and what's happening at home. That's not what we hear about in the media.
Exactly. We're not even really talking about the children, are we?
Mm-hmm.
And their welfare. We're talking about reducing this child to a number. I'm sorry, you can't do that. You can't norm a whole bunch of kids and say, well, this is where they are, and reduce them to this thin little line of proficiency or non-proficiency. That's nonsense. The things that I think that we could do, we need more. Well, I just wrote a little list, you know. I wrote a little list of things. If I were designing schools, what I would do is we'd cut the number of credits that it takes to be able to graduate. 29 is absurd. 24 is great. Right in that range is fine. We'd make it more possible for the kids to get vocational training. We really need to deepen our vocational programs. Because I'm a language arts teacher, this is my passion. And if I were the king of the world, the queen of the world, what I would do is I would mandate double-blocked English classes and math classes every single day, all year long, for our kids. I just would. Mm-hmm. Enough of dinking around with it and pretending that we're going to fix this if we don't just put huge amounts of energy into it. But the big problem, Fred, is that our schools and our coffers, our funding for our schools, are being bankrupted by this corporate reform. Because what happened was, the minute technology started thinning out the profits to the big publishing companies, the big publishing companies instantly turned to being test producers and test generators. So you get a corporation like Pearson Publishing Company, that's a Rupert Murdoch company, for heaven's sakes. So we have this kind of evil empire that's out there. And what's happening is that instead of funding our schools, making sure that we have top flight teachers, making sure we have top flight technology, making sure all of our kids have got health care on site. It should be, and thank heavens Mayfield has got that now. We've got a community-based clinic there. It should be in every school. Every school should try to be community-based so that we've got maybe language classes that are happening with the parents. So a teacher, I mean, I'd love to become fluent in Spanish. I just butcher the Spanish language every time I try to speak it. But if I could sit down with parents and we could have pláticas and we could have discussions together and try to have this open conversation and try to break down the barriers instead of trying to build them up. That's what we've done. We've created a wall that's almost impenetrable.
Since you mentioned, amongst a variety of other ideas, this notion of having a stronger focus on English and math.
Yes.
I want to ask you something that I noticed in my previous job in another state, where I worked at a university, and I taught both a communications course and a broadcast journalism course every year, taught two different courses. I noticed in the 10 years that I worked there that an awful lot of college students had limited experience writing in high school.
Right.
And so they struggled mightily in my classes because it was all about writing, especially in journalism.
Sure.
This surprised me. Maybe it shouldn't have in our test-crazy culture that may be crowding out time for writing.
Well, you nailed it. You nailed it. Because if I'm so busy giving tests and making, and I honestly cannot tell you, it's just been dizzying how many tests we've had to go through so far this year. If I'm not in my classroom with my children and teaching those kids things like analytical skills and writing skills and higher order thinking skills, if I'm not there helping them work their way through the material and all they're learning is how to fill in bubbles on a Scantron sheet, And that's what I call factoids, you know. That's not thinking. Mm-hmm. That's just regurgitating.
Yeah.
So it not only is it bankrupting the school system in terms of funding, it's bankrupting us in terms of our contact time with our children.
Yeah.
And we seem to have bought it hook, line, and sinker that this is somehow the way to achieve things. We'll just bludgeon these kids with tests. And what is happening is kids are turning off to school in record numbers and dropping out in record numbers. They're bored out of their minds. They know they're not being prepared adequately for what they're going to need when they get into college, and they're terrified, and they should be terrified.
I don't want to leave it there because I think that that's powerful, but to end on perhaps a positive note. Getting this word out, and this is part of that, doing interviews. We're going to have an education town hall coming up on December 18th at KRWG-TV at 7 o'clock. And I invite all of our listeners to join us for that. You'll find information on our website about it. When you think about this, if the information gets out there and there is a movement for change, what would the change be if you could design it in terms of how to fairly evaluate teachers and how to make the test taking more manageable in schools, not to what it is right now? Because obviously from what you just said, you don't think it's being done in a way that's manageable.
Well, we need to get it back to a manageable level, and, mm-hmm. and teachers certainly need to be involved again in designing their own tests. We say, well, we're not against testing. We invented them. And that's, but for instance, the end of course exams, those are being designed by people who are not the ones who are delivering the content. They are up there in some little ivory tower somewhere creating these tests, and then we're supposed to figure out whether or not we've met the needs. We need to get real, and they need to start involving the teachers, and we should start involving the children more. We should start having honest conversations about this. We can't go running around being afraid to have children speak from their hearts or to put barriers between teachers, their administrators, the school district. We can't do that. We need to bring our teachers and our schools back under some sort of local control. We really need mm-hmm. that, and we need to be able to have a say in what we're going to be doing. You know, they did it over in Truth or Consequences. Did mm-hmm. you know that?
No.
Truth or Consequences passed a resolution supporting their teachers and saying, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to have these high-stakes tests. We're going to create genuine, authentic, alternative portfolio assessments where a child who is in danger of not passing because of some test grade that they didn't get will be able to create an alternative portfolio and a different way of being assessed. We need to look at assessments on a wide range of the way we do that, so we can have performance-based evaluations, so we can have a multiple, you know, there are 1,000 ways to test a child's performance, and we can do that, but you need to talk to teachers.
All right. That's what we're doing today.
This is good. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Amy Carpenter is a teacher. She teaches language, arts, and journalism at Mayfield High School. And Amy, I have to say, before we go, while we're talking about reform and we're talking about change, I hope along the way we'll also talk about the great impact teachers have in I think anyone listening right now has at least one teacher, and probably many, who made an impact on their life that was incredibly powerful. Before we started talking today, I told you about my journalism teacher in high school who changed my life. I would not have been the student nor the journalist that I am without her. And I told you a story about a young man who I interviewed recently, who's a senior at New Mexico State University. And he just came to this country 7 years ago, came here from El Salvador, didn't speak a word of English, went to Las Cruces High, and obviously had some really good teachers.
Right.
He's completely fluent and a senior at the university. We got to celebrate that.
We need to celebrate it, you know, and this is... We have excellent teachers in this district, Fred. We really do. We have a history of having excellent teachers in this district. And what I see is teachers pretty much like me. You know, I get my strength from my students. That's why I go to school every day. Every day I am surrounded by the most delightful, funny, intelligent, courageous children. And they're facing a pretty shaky world. And when we're having authentic conversations with these kids and we can make connections with them, they're able sometimes to put aside the fact that things might not be so great, you know, in other areas of their lives. But they've got a pattern to follow. They've got a safe place to come, and they have someone who loves them and really can see where they're going to be going. So
Amy,
thank you for letting me say that.
Well, thank you for being here.